Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you again for your word, Lord. Just let me speak it tonight. Let me say what you want me to say. And Lord, I know it's beneficial to us. Every word of this, every word of your scripture is beneficial to us. So Lord, let us learn from it. Let us leave here better than we came, Lord. And Lord, just clear my mind, clear my heart. Let me be your vessel tonight. Let me be your servant tonight and speak through me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into the village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us," or "have mercy on us," some translations. When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and he thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you healed, made you well." Here we find Jesus, he was traveling along, you know, Galilee is where he is from. You know, he was from that area of Galilee, so he was familiar with that. That's where he grew up, in that kind of that area. He did a lot of his miracles there in that area. He really didn't, you know, he didn't travel too far out away from there, but most of the things that he did, he chose most of his disciples from that area of Galilee. But Samaria was a place they kind of stayed away from. The Jews didn't really associate with Samaritans, and the Samaritans didn't associate with Jews. And there was a reason. The history behind that is in 720 BC, they were taken over, okay? And that northern area was brought down, and they were combined with Jews, okay? A certain tribe from the north. And so when they come together, then some of the Jews and some of that tribe, they intermarried. And that's where this group of the Samaritans come from. They were a mixed breed of culture, of Jews and Gentiles, you know, of a different culture. And so the traditional Jews didn't accept them because they weren't pure. They thought that they were impure. And so, but actually the Samaritans became very strict in their religion. And they were even more strict in their Judaism, really, than the Jews were. And the Orthodox Jews, the Samaritans were very strict. But they always had this conflict for years and years and years, and even under certain times of the year when the Jewish priests would go out and light fires to signify a certain day, you know, or the start off of a certain festival that was supposed to, the Samaritans would go and do it earlier. Or do it at a different time, just to do stuff like that. And that's the way this was, all the time. But the Jews always thought that Samaritans were impure. And they just didn't have anything to do with them. And that's why, you know, the Good Samaritan, because that story, what's so significant about that is because nothing ever good come out of Samaria. That's the way the Jews said, nothing, nobody. And then when Jesus talk to the woman at the well. You know, that was, whoa, what is he doing talking to that woman, and especially the women? The women were even worse. The Samaritan women, they were really looked down on. And so it was a big deal. So when we read this story, he's traveling between Samaria, you know. It says that. He's traveling between Samaria because they really didn't go into Samaria. The disciples didn't until the book of Acts. when we start reading there. That's when they kind of went into Samaria. But he did talk to the woman at the well, and she went, and what did she do after she talked with Jesus? She went back, and she laid the groundwork for when the disciples went in. You understand that? So there's a little history there. As he was going along, this was a village. It doesn't tell us what village it was. It just says a village. So it's an unknown village that he went through. And there was 10 men that had leprosy. And you guys have probably heard about leprosy. It was a disease that nobody wanted to be around. And they would isolate people. They didn't want anybody to, because they thought they would catch it. And they didn't want it, you know. And so they pushed people out. And I find this, there's groups of people today, it seems like, that are pushed out. You think about that. There's groups of people that are kind of pushed away sometimes, and so they put themselves in groups. And I've noticed that, sometimes we associate with people that are like us. We do that, don't we? So these guys, they were all lepers, so they were together. And we find that they weren't all the same, because one of them was a Samaritan. But they had something in common. They all had leprosy. So I don't know exactly any more beyond that, because the Scripture doesn't reveal that to us. But they stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice. And I love this, because sometimes I think we fail when we get into a place where we feel like we're alienated or we're pushed aside. You listen to me tonight, because sometimes we in our lives we get that way. We feel sometimes like we're at a distance. And there's people out there that feel that way with the church. And sometimes there's people that come to church all the time. They come to church, but yet they still feel alienated. They still feel like they're at a distance, because, and instead of them, and this is what I like about that, these guys cried out. They said, Jesus, first. They called on the name of Jesus with a loud voice. And I think sometimes that's what we fail to do. We fail to call on the name of Jesus with a loud voice, because that's who we need in our life. And not only did they call on the name of Jesus, they called Him Master. They revealed the trueness of Him when they called Him Master. They were turning over complete control. They were giving Him complete, what am I trying to say? They were saying, you are who you say you are. You are not only your Jesus, but you are the Master. And we're giving you the credit. We know who you are. Sometimes that's where we need to get to. We need to call on the name of Jesus with a loud voice and say, Jesus, Master. Master. Savior. You know that song? Master, Savior, Jesus. There's something about that name. Man, I love that song. Because it means something, those words. Because He's the one that brings the healing. His name, in His name, is the one that brings salvation in the name of Jesus. No other name. It's not Muhammad. It's not Confucius. It's not Gumby or Gandhi, or it's not some sorcerer. It's not some psychiatrist that people run to get information. It's not even the pastor of the church. It's the name of Jesus. And that name is the name that you can go to and you can count on, because He is our Master and He is our Savior. And that name is the name above all names. Amen? And that's who we call out to. That's who we cry out to. That's who they recognized. Because they knew that nobody else, everybody else had alienated them. Everybody else had shoved them aside. We have people in this nation, we have people in this community that feel this way. They've been pushed aside. They've been alienated. they've been given up on. And they need to recognize who Jesus is. They need to recognize who He is, and when they do, they're gonna see change in their life. That's what I saw. Many of you saw that change in your life when you recognized, when you finally recognized who Jesus was, and then you cried out to Him, Jesus, Master, Savior, Jesus. Amen. He said, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Have compassion on me. Have compassion, because I know you don't have to have mercy on me. Because I know you hold, you know what the definition of mercy is? I put it on my phone. I'm gonna read it to you. I always do this. I like to be right. It says, compassion or forgiveness shown towards someone whom is within one's power to punish or harm. Huh. Think about that. Who were they talking to? They were talking to somebody who they recognized the power that Jesus had. They recognized who He was and what the key that He held. He had the power to either heal them or not to heal them. They felt punished because that's the way the Jews believed. They believed that if you had leprosy or if you had a disease or if there was something going on, that you had sinned, you had sin in your life, and that was the reason you were where you were at. Man, I love this. And when He saw them, He said, go show yourselves to the priest. See, that was a thing that they had to do. They had, you know, if they were going to be cleansed, they had to go show themselves to the priest before they could enter back in the community. But before they could show themselves to the priest, they had to be healed. Think about that. Jesus had told them, before they were even cleansed, He said, go show yourself to the priest. And so on their way, and as they went, it says, they were cleansed as they were going. Man. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. I love that. You know, I think that's one thing that we fail to do. You know, everybody wants to be healed. Everybody wants blessings in our lives. Everybody wants to have these good things that happen in our life. And we, you know, we get down and we get out, and I see this a lot with people. They get in a bad situation in their life, and they're going through hard times, and they start coming to church. And then then things start getting a little bit better in their life, and then all of a sudden they stop coming to church. We see this. You've seen this before. They stopped coming to church. And this guy, he says with a loud voice. With a loud voice. You praise God with a loud voice. Sometimes I think we become too passive in our praises. We're afraid to stand up and say, hallelujah. God's healed me. He's going to heal me. If He don't heal me today, it may be tomorrow. If He don't heal me tomorrow, hey, He's going to heal me sometime. I believe that. And I'm going to praise Him right now for it. Because when He told these guys to go show themselves, what did they do? They turned around and left. They were headed to the priest. And on their way, they were healed. Amen. They were cleansed on their way. Amen. In a loud voice, he shouted. There's been things that's happened to me. I just can't help myself. I want to shout it. Amen. He saved me. Isn't that something to shout about? Huh? It's something to shout about. He saved me. I've seen guys delivered from drugs. I've seen guys delivered from being an alcoholic. And you knew that the only way that they were delivered was because of the grace of God, and God did it in their life because there was no way that they could have done it. And that's an awesome thing. That's something to shout about. I shout for them because I see what's happened in their life. I know God can do it. After that, he says, and this guy was a Samaritan that turned around and went back to Jesus, shouting and praising Him. We got things to praise Him for. It doesn't matter who you are, where you come from. Why was it the Samaritan? Jesus asked him, He said, "We're not all 10 cleansed. Where are the other 9? And that's what I was saying. You know, sometimes there's only 1 out of the 10 that praises God for the blessings that He's given them. Where's the other 9? Where did they go? What did they do? Did they just take it for granted? They took their blessing and went on. And that's what I was saying. I've seen so many times where people would come into the church with problems and hurting and want this and need that and need that. And then they get a blessing from God and they just let it go and don't. I just don't understand those things sometimes. That's what the Scripture here is saying. He said, where's the other 9? Where are they at? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? This foreigner, this Samaritan, this one that is unclean, that we don't get along with, we don't associate with. That was what everybody else, but Jesus, didn't matter to Him, did He? That's why we were adopted. I'm glad Jesus accepted me. I'm not a Jew, but I was willing to praise Him. I was willing to acknowledge Him. I was willing to say, Jesus, Master, You're my Savior. And He was willing to forgive me and accept me. Amen? That's each and every one of us here tonight. That's every one of us here tonight. He cleansed us. We were all dirty. We were all as much as the leopards. Lepers. We were all alienated. We were all pushed aside. Think about that. But because of His love and His mercy and His grace that He had for all of His creation, He came to His own people, we know that, and they didn't accept Him. But He said, if this guy is willing to come back and praise Me and acknowledge Me for who I am, you're healed. I'm going to save you. And he said to the man, He said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. I love that. Come on. I hope that you're willing to shout with a loud voice to whoever and acknowledge that Jesus, He is your Master. He is your Savior. Like I said, I think sometimes I fail to do that in my life, is to give Him the credit where credit is due. Amen. For the things that He's, the blessings that He's given me, the salvation that He's given me freely. I have failed at times in my life to acknowledge that and say, you are my master, you are my savior, and I'm going to praise you and I'm going to shout it till eternity rose. Like the old psalm says. Amen. Where's the nine? Where's the others? Where's the others? I'll tell you, this story just really, speaks to me about, you know, giving God the praise and giving Him the credit that He deserves. You know, He has done so much for us in our lives, and just to be able to acknowledge that, as you know, I mean, what else can I say? I mean, we have to give Him that praise, and He is faithful. You see what He did for the Samaritan. You know, He said, "Your faith, you are healed because of your faith." And but He desires that from us. He does. He desires that from us. And I just don't know what to say sometimes, because the blessings that He's given me is just overwhelming sometimes when I think about it. I just can't say enough, you know. I can stand up here and preach and talk and tell all this stuff, but, you know, these examples that He's left us, they're there for a reason, you know. And I just want to apply it to my life when I read it. I just want to be the best that I can be, you know, for Him. And, you know, because like I preached this morning, the example that we lead in our life is what leads other people to this church and is what leads other people to Christ. And so when we shout His name and when we call Him Master and when we recognize who He is and the blessings that He's given us, when we do that publicly, people want to know why. People, they see that in us. Let's stand for prayer. God is so good. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You so much again for Your Word, Lord. Lord, I hope I spoke it the way You wanted me to speak tonight, Lord. You spoke through me. Lord, I pray that You watch over us as we leave here tonight, Lord. Let Your Holy Spirit guide and direct us, Lord. Give us wisdom. All wisdom comes from You. Lord, let us be good examples in this community. Let us not alienate anyone. Let us go to them just like Jesus did, Lord, and bring You to them. Lord, Lord, we just praise You. We thank You, Lord. Lord, we recognize You as Jesus, our Master, our Savior. Lord, keep us safe. Bless the sick. Keep us humble. And in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.